Welcome to Business and Oil. Articles from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Read by volunteers at the Recording Library of West Texas.
Hello, this is Cindy reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Monday, September 9th. Big Oil Keeping Watchful Eye on Permian by Kevin Crowley, Bloomberg. A bloodbath in energy stocks is creating a rich opportunity for Big Oil to dominate America's hottest shale play. Independent producers in the Permian Basin of Texas and New Mexico are trading much lower than when Chevron Corp bid for Anadarko Petroleum Corp in April. Royal Dutch Shell Place and ConocoPhillips have expressed interest in bulking up in shale at the right price. ExxonMobil Corp's chief said Wednesday his company is keeping a watchful eye on the Permian for potential deals. Oil's dropped to nearly $55 a barrel from $75 in October is putting pressure on shale producers at a time when investors are losing faith in an industry that has burned about $200 billion of cash in a decade. Despite record U.S. output, the S&P index of independent exploration and production companies is trading near its troughs of 2008 and 2015, when crude prices sank south of $35 a barrel. The producers are now worth just 4.5 times their earnings before certain items, compared with 9 times about a year ago. It's clear there are many E&Ps trading well below the Chevron valuation watermark from April, said Michael Roomberg, who helps manage $4.4 billion at Miller Howard Investments, Inc. He expects several additional deals over the next several quarters and wouldn't be surprised if the majors are involved. Pioneer Natural Resources Company or Concho Resources, Inc., which have both struggled this year, would be a good fit for Exxon, while Shell may look at smaller players like WPX Energy, Inc., and Cimarex Energy Company, according to Tudor, Pickering, Holt & Company. The collapse in valuations has been so severe that the biggest shale producers may also come into play. EOG Resources, Inc. and Occidental Petroleum Corp. could also be targeted. Ben Cook, a portfolio manager at BP Capital in Dallas, said earlier this year, activist investor Carl Icahn is pushing for a shakeup of the board at Occidental. After a slow start in shale, Exxon and Chevron have expanded in the Permian at prodigious rates over the past 2 years, and now see onshore exploration in the U.S. as a key part of their global growth plans. They expect to more than double output to roughly 1 million barrels a day each by the early 2020s. The two heavyweights are betting their ability to fund enormous drilling programs and build associated infrastructure like pipelines and gas terminals means they won't encounter the growing pains the independents are currently experiencing. If there is the opportunity to acquire something that brings unique value to ExxonMobil, we'll be in a position to transact on that, Exxon CEO Darren Woods said at a Barclays Place conference Wednesday. But he's willing to let potential targets struggle for some time to get a better price. Time's on our side to let that play itself out, Woods said. I think people need to recalibrate what they're experiencing in that unconventional space, and that will have an impact on how people value companies. Chevron will be opportunistic in making acquisitions, said Jeff Gustafson, the company's North America head, said at the same conference. Any deal would have to be a strategic fit and be good value, he said. BP Place entered the fray a year ago, acquiring BHP Group Limited's onshore oil and gas assets for $10.5 billion. In hindsight, the timing looks bad given the slump in shale valuations since then. Waiting for too long could be risky as well. On the day Chevron bid for Anadarko, which it ended up losing to Occidental Petroleum Corp., major shale producers surged as much as 12% as investors bet on a buyout frenzy. So far, Exxon, Chevron, and Shell are looking smart. Some shale producers are struggling to pay creditors, with Sanchez Energy Corp and Halcon Resources Corp recently filing for bankruptcy protection. The majors are going to go out there and run these guys into bankruptcy, Mark Rossano, CEO of C6 Capital Holdings, said on Bloomberg TV. They're going to look to pick up acreage at significant discounts. Survey shows concern level of MISD teachers. Commentary by Jennifer Carpenter. As a parent with one student in Midland ISD, I've made the decision to become more involved with our district. Many know I'm also an advocate for teachers and have tried to work hard, collecting feedback that I hope may lead to improving school culture. My son kept losing his favorite teachers year after year, so this forced me into action to figure out what was going on. The beginning of my journey started with an exit interview I executed in 1 week. This questionnaire was requested by more than 150 individuals, and I received 30 before I had to present it at the July 2018 meeting of the Board of Trustees. MISD informed me there was not enough feedback for an accurate account of the culture. This spring, I completed my second anonymous teacher culture survey and feel it's important to help let the community know how our educators feel about the current culture within the district. The survey results have been shared with the school board. I sent the survey to teachers in May. I sent it to every email on each campus website. More than half of the emails kicked back to me as bad emails. Still, nearly 300 teachers responded, so around a quarter of MISD employees at the end of the school year participated. The results from the survey included 88% said they were classroom teachers. The rest indicated they were aides, administrators, subs, and/or central office support. 60% indicated they've taught in MISD for 1 to 6 years, and 15% indicated they've taught in MISD for 15 or more years. When asked what their top 3 to 5 concerns were, we received the following feedback in order: student discipline, support from higher levels, and respect level. Because the survey was anonymous, we couldn't reach back to the teachers to ask for more details, but there was a part of the survey where an employee could leave comments such as these. The following were examples of comments having to do with the top concerns. Our campus has been left completely alone for the past 3 years. Higher levels have shunned us and have done nothing to help our students' progress or staff retention and growth of those that staff members that have stayed. Coming from out of state, the district needs to improve in all these areas, including more prep time for teachers. I also feel as though I have stepped back 10 years in time from the district I came from. And lastly, employees expressed concern with the disconnect from downtown to schools. I think this speaks volumes of where we really need to focus on. These teachers feel even if they do their part to communicate, the action is not reciprocated. If teachers do receive a response, many feel it is not genuine or an attempt to resolve any issues. Of 42 comments for the top concerns, only 2 were about the cost of living in Midland. Now, I'm not saying it is not an issue here, but survey results here and with the district have shown that is not why we are in low supply of educators and employees throughout MISD. Our educators do not feel valued or appreciated, and more so they feel a huge lack of respect and support. Teachers also reported about areas where the district was doing well. The 3 areas are training and development, benefits, and salary. Those areas where we are seeing employee satisfaction fall within the authority of our school board, so for that, we as a group of parents thank our board for approving funding for those areas. We appreciate that our teachers feel like their professional training, salary, and benefits are something to feel positive about. I will say that the overarching theme of the responses were that teachers generally felt positive toward their coworkers, school personnel, and school spirit, but felt little support coming from the central office administration. So where does this leave us? Our board members were elected by us to represent us, and with my experience since July of last year, less than a majority of board members seem to take me seriously or have genuine concerns to resolve this issue. More comments from our teachers on where we have room to improve include one offering that our leaders say the right thing to the public and the media, but there is no actual follow-through and many teachers no longer trust district and campus leadership. And I feel the school board does not have a true picture of the nature of the issues across the district, and ultimately they don't want to know, which is why the problems persist. Teachers also indicated in the surveys that the district superintendent does not appreciate all the hard work that teachers do at Title I schools and believes children do not have discipline issues. Again, these comments were part of the packet of information turned into the school board. In summary, we can't give teachers a big enough raise, buy apartment complexes, or give them enough professional development to buy our way out of a teacher feeling like he or she isn't supported from the top. This is a culture issue, not a money issue. Mayoral candidate question and answer. What was your take from the Perriman report authorized by Priority Midland, and what does it mean to govern in Midland for the next decade? CUD. City leadership should get back to basics. Learn from yesterday, live for today, hope for tomorrow. The important thing is not stop questioning. Albert Einstein. There is no better time to be alive, to be an American, or to be in Midland right now. As the largest oil field in the world and the greatest economy in Texas, Midland sits at a turning point, and our next move is vital to our future and the future generations of Midlanders. The vision we choose to cast, the path we choose to take, the leadership we elect, and the principles we live by for the next few years will all determine whether we achieve our potential or not. Ray Perriman's recent report predicts that by 2030, Midland County as a whole will have a population of more than 280,000. An additional 16,000 single-family homes will be needed on top of the current shortage, ranging from 5,000 to 15,000 homes. Perriman projects an additional 400 first responders are also needed on top of the current shortage of almost 100 first responders. We all love Midland for different reasons, and I believe one of the main reasons is because of our great people and our sense of community. Can we add another 100-plus people to our community? Absolutely. Why wouldn't we want to share the love, generosity, and sense of belonging with others that we enjoy? Will it hurt? Probably, but growing pains always do. Through the growth, we have the opportunity to be larger, taller, more prosperous, and the example for all. However, the choices we make today will determine our future. I have called Midland home for 12 years now. Would you agree that Midland is not the town it was 12 years ago? The independent, pioneering spirit and core of who we are as a community remains unshakable, and with these strengths, we realize that to move forward successfully, tired old thinking must change. As Henry Ford said, if you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always got. Put another way, if you want something you've never had, you must do something you've never done. Do you believe that the only solution is to increase taxes every year? Do you want those taxes spent on new parks, Wi-Fi for all parks and spaceports, rather than road repairs, adequate police, and fire personnel for your protection? We must repair our foundation before we spend any money on luxuries. It's time for new ideas that create solutions to Midland's problems. This is how we've always done it. We'll maintain the status quo. The choice is yours. As an important citizen of Midland, are you ready to be a part of solving Midland's problems? As we continue to grow, it is vital that we set ourselves up for success. It seems our previous and current leadership has been distracted with shiny projects rather than focusing on why we can't keep first responders, why affordable housing is non-existent, and why our roads are in terrible condition. We are almost 50 short on the police force and 40 firefighters short. Just last year, we had 4,405 accidents inside city limits. What accidents would have been avoided? Whose lives would we have saved? Who would have a home? Will we grow and flourish because we change our approach or keep doing the same thing for another 10 years? At what point do we stop forming more committees, programs, or initiatives to have the same conversations about the same problems and start solving these issues? We must start resolving the issues that have been ignored or bantered about for years. We have been stuck in neutral for far too long. We need a new driver. We believe that in order to truly reach our potential and prepare for our bright future, it is time to get back to basics. It is time to start doing an outstanding job as a city for our taxpayers. It is time to focus on the things that affect our residents every day. Only when our basic needs are met can we have the freedom to thrive. It's time for citizen leadership, not another politician. It's time for common sense to be our priority. It's time to protect and provide for our own. Status quo has got to go. Midland deserves better. Vote Jenny for mayor. Morales. City of Midland should take bold steps moving forward. As the mayor, my strategic directive has always been to nurture a sustainable economic climate, while emphasizing the value of making long-term investments in Midland. The data in the Midland Economic Impact Study confirmed the message that I have been championing. We are not doomed to vicious economic cycles. With planning and hard work, Midland can become a world-class city. It can be difficult for those of us who live in the Permian Basin to properly appreciate the profound impact of the energy industry's technological advances. Countless times, reporters and constituents have asked me how long I think the current boom will last. I have always de-emphasized the dialogue about booms and busts, because a city cannot be built on reaction. A great city must be structured deliberately and strategically with an unwavering focus on the potential of the future. As with Perryman's report, my initiatives have been supported by research and solid data about population growth, unemployment rates, strains on infrastructure, housing demand, and financial capacity. Demographic reports and comments from energy company CEOs both point to economic and population acceleration for decades to come. Anecdotal data have already indicated that Midland's population could be as high as 200,000 by 2030, and that there is a current shortage of 15,000 workers across the Permian Basin. Those suppositions have now been backed up by specific projections. In 2014, I commissioned the Tall City Tomorrow Plan as a device to guide the development of Midland. The plan was adopted by the City Council in 2016, and without the framework that this plan provides, there would be no strategic course to guide the city's growth. On a larger scale, the Midlands Economic Impact Study will be a tool that the taxing entities, elected officials, community leaders, and businesses will utilize to plot their course into Midland's future. With the data now available, we can optimally prioritize workforce training requirements, housing demand, educational capacity, and healthcare needs. The global economy and increasing demand for energy will lead to steady increases in Permian Basin production and sustained economic vitality for the coming decades. This reinforces my vision that Midland must plan accordingly and not be overcautious. If we hesitate, reacting too slowly, in the years to come, we will regret not taking bold steps now. Midland is growing like no other city. For the last 6 years as mayor, I have witnessed the impact of rapid growth on our infrastructure and resources. I lobbied the City Council to fund Priority Midland, and am working with Midland's other taxing entities to achieve unity and collaboration. pooling our resources and strengthening our capacities. We must all strive for unity and transparency to prioritize Midland's needs. The story of our city will take many chapters to write, and our actions today are impacting the opportunities that will enable our children to strive after us. Our citizens deserve a world-class city. Peyton, Midland needs more than diluted, politically captive discussions of the past. It seems wise to begin my answer to the proposed question with a Ray Perriman statement, reminding us all that one thing we cannot count on when it comes to economic forecasts is that they will be wrong. This Perriman caution speaks to the heart of my response to the question on the table. All kinds of mind-bending predictions as to where we will be require us to think and act with new and proven leadership that takes the lessons of the past into fresh ways of thinking for our future progress toward a Midland that will take its place as a top 100 city to live and work. As a mayor, I prove to you proven ways of thinking and leading that respect predictions but will proceed wisely, collaboratively, and with an eye on a future we can be proud of and we can afford. The first thing we must do in response to the Perriman Report of Unlimited Growth and Opportunity is take a deep breath and realize a brand new way of responding to our new norm of challenges. No longer can we respond with a hurried, siloed reaction of the past boom and bust cycles that clings tightly to old ways of thinking and planning, rooted in preparing for the next bust more than ongoing growth and opportunity. If the Perriman Report is only half right, it presents a new era of cyclical economics in the Permian. We must learn to accept as we press forward into new ways of thinking, planning, and acting. Our new norm and opportunity must be met with new and tested ways of partnering, planning, and leading. Being at the forefront of leading a paradigm-shifting, world-impacting, multifaceted organization throughout the past 20 years has uniquely qualified me to step into our new reality and future that demands new thinking, partnering, disciplined thought, and ultimate progress made possible by the great people of Midland. Whether I was helping a restaurant achieve maximum profit in my distribution business, leading a national brand into broad sales and success as a food broker, or leading a church body of varying opinions and ideas to work together for worldwide good, I have found that often what stands in the way of great progress is diluted, defensive, siloed thinking, leading to actions that often don't attack the problem. As your mayor, I will be able to bring more than 30 years of varied, broad, and effective leadership into City Hall for everyone in Midland. To address our housing issues, I will combine my respect for the lessons of our historic past with my proven private and nonprofit leadership. Together with our best public and private leadership, I will create a housing task force, a group that will work toward short and long-term objectives we can aim for, measure, and accomplish. This task force will be assembled from a broad spectrum of entities we are all well aware of, such as pertinent city officials, employees, commissions, and boards, Priority Midland, Permian Strategic Partnership, various developer and real estate leaders, and Midland Development Corps and others. We do not need more consultants. We have the expertise right here in the Permian. We overconsult because we do not efficiently and effectively collaborate with proven leadership. The work of the task force will involve our people, will energize our partnerships and collaboration, and will lead to measurable objectives and progress for our immediate needs and the long-term solutions. It will be hard work in every way, but if any people and city can do this, we can. My leadership response to the question of leading through our current and long-term housing challenges is exemplary of how I will lead through all of our city and regional challenges as mayor of Midland. Our current obstacles present our most incredible opportunities. We will not become what we are designed and destined to be through the same diluted, politically captive discussions of the past. 30 years of proven multifaceted leadership that has been tested and tried locally, regionally, nationally, and internationally is what I bring to our great city. My proven leadership will combine efforts for challenging, thoughtful planning to establish more strategic and effective ways to utilize our hard-earned tax dollars for maximum gains in an already overheated valuation economy. This means together everyone must accept the reality that we will not all get everything we want, but together we can accomplish everything we need toward everything we can become.
County vote will mean higher taxes. Murray Fly parking lot construction considered. Ector County commissioners at 10 a.m. today will hold a public hearing on the county's 2019-20 property tax rate and then vote to adopt it. Precinct 2 Commissioner Greg Simmons' August 27 motion was approved to okay a tentative rate of 37.5 cents per $100 in valuation, which is a decrease from the current 39.7 cent levy, but above the effective rate of 35.41, which would be considered bolstered valuations from the oil boom, in effect, a tax hike. A September 5th public hearing was also conducted to garner taxpayers' feedback. In her proposed budget, County Judge Debbie Hayes has scheduled the government to spend $65.6 million in the coming fiscal year, up from the current year's $64.1 million in total expenditures. Other business in the Commissioner's Courtroom in the County Administration Building Annex at 1010 East 8th Street is the consideration of building a new parking lot at Murray Fly Elementary School and sharing funding for the project with ECISD. County Highways and State Departments Director Evans Casey will seek approval of his plan to widen West 42nd Street from State Highway 302 to FM 1936 next year, widen Papaw Street from US 385 to Ruby Avenue, and hire Landgraf Crutcher and Associates to engineer the projects for no more than $233,750. Casey will also present his 20-year roadway rehabilitation and improvements plan. The court will also accept $800 donation from the American Legion's Earl S. Bailey, post number 430, on behalf of the Sheriff's Office. Discuss awarding $106,107 to Centerline Supply for equipment to be used by the Traffic Operations Department. Consider approving a contractual assignment between Wildcatter Aviation and Texas Aero for the operation of Odessa Airport Schlemmer Field. Discuss renewing interlocal agreements for fleet maintenance with UTPB and the Medical Center Health System and contracting with Vector Fleet Management. Review contracting with the Texas Department for Family and Protective Services for 2019 to 2020. Consider renewing the county's agreement with the Texas Association of Counties for workers' compensation coverage. Discuss approving a 2020 routine airport maintenance grant agreement with the Texas Department of Transportation. Consider transferring $57,360 to $5,250 for road maintenance, $133,750 for engineering, $20,353 for signs and other supplies, and $3,250 for equipment maintenance and repair to highways and streets. Discuss transferring $9,150 from the airport fund to the airport's improvements and construction department for electrical materials and supplies. Consider budget amendments to pay UA Supplies $15,000 for post-sentence monitoring, $16,000 in monitoring fees, and $1,000 for supplies. Review amendments to pay the Medical Examiner's Office $60,000 for autopsies and $20,000 for transportation.
Thank you for listening to this week's Business and Oil articles from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers at the Recording Library of West Texas. Don't forget, you can also hear this program by calling the telephone reader at 432-617-5555 and by downloading at recordinglibrary.org.